Hello, this is Strange Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jason Kupczyk, and this is
Shane Coffey.
On this episode, we have the Bunny Man, Champ the Lake Monster, two listener-submitted stories, a UFO story or two, French woman found dead in Italian church was searching for ghosts, and security guard stumbles upon Alexa devices praying in the middle of the night.
An eerie video circulating on social media in Mexico shows the moment when a department store security guard stumbles upon a group of Alexa devices praying in the middle of the night.
Y por los del mundo entero. Por su dolorosa pasión,
ten misericordia de nosotros y del mundo entero.
Por su dolorosa pasión,
ten misericordia de nosotros y del mundo entero.
Por su dolorosa pasión,
ten misericordia de nosotros y del mundo entero.
The bizarre incident reportedly occurred earlier this month as the man was making his rounds at the Iron Palace shop in Mexico City. At approximately 2 a.m., the security guard was stunned when several of the store's Alexa devices suddenly began reciting the Catholic devotion known as the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy. Particularly chilling about the strange scene was that it appeared to be one device leading the virtual prayer service, which echoed through the otherwise empty store. Since being posted on TikTok over the weekend with the spooky video has gone viral in Mexico, amassing a staggering 13 million views to date and sparking a manner of theories as to what unfolded in the department store that night. Some viewers offered the intriguing suggestion that perhaps the devices were being used by ghosts in an attempt to hasten their journey to heaven, while others theorized that the incident might have some kind of Easter-related divine message. Meanwhile, more skeptical viewers posted that someone could have simply programmed the devices to recite prayers as part of the elaborate prank to terrify the unfortunate security guard. What do you guys think?
What do you think?
Well, it would be like finding Alexa devices in America speaking English. You know, I mean, how obvious that it was in Spanish in Mexico. I don't know. I think that kind of crazy. It's kind of creepy. The echoing thing would have probably scared the crap out of me, especially if there was one leading a service, essentially. So I don't have an Alexa. I don't really know. Is there like a mirror option? Is there an echo option on it when you say it? Will it repeat you? Because if not, then that's really creepy.
Yeah, I don't have one either. I do think you can program them to say certain things. You could hack them now to do certain things. But, I mean, maybe the security guard was bored and decided to set up and do this. And, you know, it's a good, fun video.
But that's a lot of work.
Did something trigger one of these, and then one of these triggered the rest of them in a way?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Can one Alexa device recognize another Alexa device just based on the voice? Or if you get one going, will it trigger the other one? I have no idea.
See, I don't know. I know they have an Echo device or an Alexa device called Echo. So maybe that has something to do. I don't have one. Maybe I should go and purchase one and learn all the ins and outs.
No, because then the CIA will be monitoring you even more than they already are.
Fair, and they'll watch me and all my weird cooking that I do in the kitchen, because that's worth watching.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know.
It's very interesting. I don't know if we'll have anything come from it. It'd be crazy if it started happening everywhere. That's when it's time to get nervous about it.
In different languages all over the world would be crazy, but yet it would be kind of awesome as well. So it's kind of like, oh, I don't want this to happen, but yet I kind of do, if I'm being honest, because it would be kind of wild. But
yeah,
on the wild aspect,
there might be mass suicides if that happens.
Why'd you got to go there with it?
I don't know. It's just, people start thinking that robots are getting religious. They might. I don't know. You never know.
Wow. You heard it here first, folks. Yeah, you're right, though. Robots are getting religious. I mean, putting soul into something that has no soul. Or does it?
Will there be people that convert to... I guess it was reading a Catholic prayer. So the robots have chosen their own religion, which happens to be a human religion. So.
But that's one thing that you have to think. So is that a spiritual thing? Is that a haunting, essentially? Are there spirits now in the machines now that they now have AI?
I think we'll need to get a rabbit hole. Yeah, we'll have to get a comment. We'll ask to reach out to the Pope for comment on it, see what he has to say about it.
What do you think, Pope?
Yeah.
Are these spirits going into these AI generated pieces of equipment, plastic, metal, steel? Or maybe we'll hear from the bishop. What do you think, Bish?
French woman found dead in Italian church was searching for ghosts and possible TikTok stunt, police say. This comes from Rome. A 22-year-old French woman whose blood-drained body was found in an abandoned church in northern Italy's Aosta Valley over the weekend had been looking for haunted house believed to contain ghosts, according to police. She told family members about her plans before leaving the village near Lyon, where she lived. A policewoman in the town of La Salle told CNN. Police believe the victim could have been attempting to carry out a TikTok stunt, adding that her death could be related to a ghost hunting competition being played in France on the social media platform. Wonder why they don't have that here. The other working theories are that it was a consented murder or sacrifice or an attempt to carry out a social media prank in the deconsecrated church. Police are still searching for a young man who was seen with her. There are also two other missing person cases in the area, which police say could be related. That's weird that it could be related. I wonder what, it doesn't give any detail.
It just says could be.
Yeah. According to the spokeswoman, the victim and a male friend have been seen in the area dressed like vampires. A witness interviewed by police say the young woman was pale and emaciated, and the man had dark hair and olive skin. The witness told police investigators that she looked like a walking corpse. The dead woman, whose name has not been released, had been stabbed with what investigators say was a camping knife and had bled to death. According to medical examiner Roberto Testi, she also had two gunshots to her neck and was one in the abdomen. The police say that sounds like overkill. May have been inflicted after she died. Some of the blood had been scraped off the floor and removed from the crime scene, police told CNN. There were no signs of a struggle, police say. Police say they found a package of pink marshmallows and some groceries purchased at a local store near her body, and she was wearing beige leggings and a sweatshirt under a long, dark coat. The woman had no documents or cell phone on her when a local resident discovered her decomposing body, police say. The area prosecutor, Manello De Abrasi, told local media that they are also investigating the presence of a burgundy-colored van that was spotted on surveillance footage near the abandoned church last week. A spokesperson from the prosecutor's office declined to add further details. I'd say there's quite a few details.
There's so much going on.
Bounces all back and forth. So just initial thoughts. What do you think's going on there?
I think that it was a sacrifice.
I'm saying like a willing sacrifice.
I think it was a willing sacrifice. I think that's why there was the scraping of the blood that they had taken. I think that's why there was damage to the body, possibly after death. I mean, a camping knife, like, we know it was a camping knife. It couldn't have been like a butcher knife. It, like,
I don't know. Maybe the knife was left there, even though it didn't say that.
Now, the pink marshmallows, that right there is a clue.
It's weird that they threw that in. I guess they were just throwing in any detail that they had. I wonder what the other groceries. So they just said pink marshmallows and some other groceries. So they could have just said groceries were found there, but they had to point out that the marshmallows were pink, I guess.
So what if it, there's so many details to this, man. Like, if you wrap your head around one side of the story, it's going to take you down a whole other rabbit hole than it would if you focused on the camp knife and the pink marshmallows or what she was wearing underneath versus
that she
was shot two times in the neck and then stabbed with a camp knife, and she's emaciated with this olive skinned man walking around, you know, a predominantly Catholic area dressed as vampires once again, you know. So there's,
was this just like an old person witness that said those young guys, like, they look like vampires?
they look like vampira. Yep. So what if, and I think it's always going to be a big what if, because literally there is no straight line to this story. They're people who are, you know, really into the vampire lore and lifestyle, and
it got, well, there are out
away.
There.
Yeah. And it got carried away. It went too far. And being that they're obsessed with this vampire culture, I mean, I believe that they believe life is in the blood. So here this woman is dying or dead, and her partner takes the blood as a form of, I guess, holding on to her. I don't know. I mean, there's so much, but it's so crazy. Like, where did the first part of the story come from that, like, they were investigating, or is a TikTok stunt like that?
Like that. Yeah, because she had told family members in France that she was going there to look for ghosts.
So that was it. She had told people she was going to go do it, and then it just went right on to the evil social media empire, and this is what they're doing.
Well, because apparently there's some kind of ghost hunting competition going on in TikTok in France.
We'll have to look into that. Yeah, we're going
to
have to look into that one, because that's good information. But the rest of this, like, is there, so here's the deal. Is there something with that TikTok stuff to do with pink marshmallows?
I don't know. I feel like they would have mentioned that. I have no idea. They mentioned pink
marshmallows. Why would you do that? Like, what? They found that it was a necessary item to mention.
Yeah. And that was directly from CNN. I mean, this story is all over the place. But when I search ghost hunting TikTok France competition, only this story comes up. That doesn't mean that I'm only looking at English language stuff, so yeah, I don't know.
True.
I don't know.
It's crazy. That's
also the prosecutor, not the prosecutor, for somebody to say that it was the police that said that there are two other missing people in the area that may be related. That, they didn't expand on that either. That brings in a whole nother thing, that they might actually consider these other missing people as related to this. Like, maybe they're thinking that this lady went there and was seen with another man, but they think that maybe the other two missing people, maybe they took the body with them. They did the same thing, but they took the body with them. I don't know. That's a whole nother aspect of this story that it just doesn't, none of this connects in a straight line. Like, I wonder if anything will ever come from this. Probably not.
So if we compile all the information that we got, so that like everything that they had or everything that they said for detail's sake, it still leaves you with a grocery list. Essentially, there's nothing makes sense other than. But then again, does murder and mayhem or anything like that, does it ever really make sense? No, not really. So there,
yeah, but usually there is a logical motive line you can follow. And I understand that during any investigation, they have to take everything into consideration. So maybe that's what they're doing here. They're just throwing all the details that they found into one heap, and then, you know, they haven't spent any time finding out what connects and what doesn't yet.
Yep, true.
But it is very weird. These all seem to connect without connecting. Like they all are about why she went there and what happened while she was there, mm-hmm. and what people saw while she was there or going there. I wonder how big this town is. Like, was this just an old lady sitting out on her porch watching these people walk by? I wonder what else she bought at the local store. What are the other groceries? What's with the burgundy van? You think they could track that down pretty easily?
A van in Italy? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's on video, they probably have a
CCTV, maybe.
Yeah, they probably have a license plate, you would think. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, we're going to have to do some more research and follow up with this, and we'll keep everybody.
Maybe we should go travel over there and go to that church. I mean, there's going to be droves of people trying to go over there now, go to that church. People that live there in that area, they're going to go try to find the vampires.
I want to go try to find the vampires, Jason.
Yeah.
This story is by Lin Ha Aha, United States. It took place in Ohio. Just had to admit this, as this just happened this past Tuesday on February 6th, 2024. I was driving to the credit union early in the morning, and I had just gotten off work and wanted to take care of a bill and draw a little bit of money out. The road I take is called Rocky River Drive. It takes me to Brook Park Road, which is right in front of the Cleveland Hopkins Airport. I mentioned the airport for a reason. I was going down the road when, of course, I hit a red light. Go figure, right? And I glance up to the sky. I do that frequently since I'm accustomed to aircraft going overhead. Oh yeah, I saw a jet. Blue body with a red, blue, and yellow tail. However, it was completely motionless. Just hanging there and not moving. Also, there was no noise. Now, usually jets make that unmistakable sound, but this was absolutely silent. I did a double. No, I did a triple take. I could not believe that this wasn't moving at all. And if I had been on the roof of one of those houses, I could have thrown a stone at it. So it was close enough for me to observe. Apparently, the other people around me noticed it too. The woman in the car next to me grabbed her smartphone and placed it on the dash to get a shot of it. I saw the guy in the car behind me doing the same thing with his cell phone. Unfortunately, my track phone was zipped in my purse and turned off at the time. I had no time to retrieve it. On top of that, I was in traffic and the light changed. I had to proceed when the light turned green and I couldn't possibly block traffic. I went to the credit union slightly shook, and from what I and others saw, but I had to calm down. It's not too good to drive in a shaken state. I assure you, on the way back, it was gone. I have seen things like what I saw on the show called Paranormal Caught on Camera on the Travel Channel. However, I viewed these videos with a certain amount of skepticism, and I thought it was a brilliant CGI. They now have my profound apologies, and I hadn't actually witnessed, along with other drivers, I didn't notice any sidewalk traffic at the time. I wouldn't have believed if I had tried to rationalize this away, but cannot seem to come up to a scientific explanation for it. Sorry. If this has happened to anybody else, please let me know and what you might have for an explanation. I'm not sure if it was a glitch in the matrix, line of thought. Nonetheless, I cannot explain it,
but I'm still bumfuzzled over it. Not to mention, still a bit shook. So my input on this is, and Jason, I'm sure you've witnessed this before. If a plane is coming in, there's a major airport in the city I live. So when you are driving sometimes along these planes that are landing, you can actually come up with the same speed that they're at. Or if they're coming at you and you're coming from the other angle, it can look like the plane is sitting and not moving because you're moving at just that perfect speed and rate along with them to where everything's just.
There's plenty of videos out there on social media of this effect. Yeah.
However, there's a noise. And there's other people who are looking up at it. And the one that got me was, if I was on the rooftop and I would have to throw a rock, I would hit it. That's how low this plane was, clearly probably coming for landing. But what happened? So I'm curious if any listeners or viewers who may be from the great state of Ohio, if they know what we're talking about in the Brook Park Road area. Maybe, maybe not. Or if you've seen this before, let us know. This is something that really got my attention because I know the phenomenon that can happen when you're driving at rate with them, but I've never heard of this type of occurrence happening from a parked vehicle with other witnesses. So I want to hear from these other witnesses. Were there other people in the town that looked up and saw this? I'm intrigued. I'm interested. I'm bumfuzzled.
Well, hopefully you'll be bumfuzzled again in the future on this show.
Oh, for sure. Bumfuzzled. I like that word.
Okay, this week's UFO story of mine comes from Australia. So this is written in from an Australian. It doesn't give the year. Oh, yeah, it does. So I do not wish to give my name. I was a teacher in South Australia for many years. In 1976, I was hoovering, that's vacuuming for the young people out there, my sitting room floor at about noon. Suddenly, I felt quite ill and thought I was going to be sick. So I sat down on the sofa to see if the sick feeling would subside. I then saw that I was not alone. There were three strange little people standing alongside the sofa just looking at me. I froze with fear, as I had never seen anything like them before, not even in films. Two of them were short and fat, about 4 to 4.5 feet tall, with broad faces and enormous black eyes, but with only a hint of where a nose or mouth might have been. Almost like a pencil drawing. They had wispy bits of brown hair at the back of their heads, and they were wearing brown shrouds or robes. These beings, I knew instinctively, were the workers. The other being was female, thin and about 5 feet tall. She wore a black shroud and had black wispy hair at the back of her head. Her face was very elongated with huge, dark, piercing eyes. Like the others, there was just a hint of where a nose or mouth could have been. The thin one started to speak to me with her mind and told me I was to go with them. I said in my own mind that I would not go. Somehow this telepathic communication seemed perfectly normal at the time, and I felt quite comfortable communicating like that. I was very frightened, but I could still communicate and understand. I was so frightened because it seemed like they were pulling me away with their minds. I had to struggle to resist them. At one point, I remember falling down and trying to crawl towards the door. I must have fainted or something because I have no memory from that point onwards. When my husband came home at the usual time, I realized I had lost about 4 hours. I still have no explanation for this experience. So there's another one that's sort of typical two Western stories. I guess you could say Australia's a Western country for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, it wasn't necessarily a UFO story. It was an alien abduction story. One thing that stands out to me that's different about this one is the tufts of hair on the back of the head. It's not gray. No, it's not a gray because I can't say never, but that's not a typical gray. Grays do not have tufts of hair on the back of their head.
The mouth brown, and the nose was pretty.
Yeah. And the black eyes. The robes make me think of those creatures from Star Wars. The ones on Tatooine that take the robots. I can't think of the name of them off the top of my head. So maybe it's a screened memory. Maybe the abduction was real, but a screened memory, and she saw those creatures. But she said black eyes, not yellow eyes, like the ones that Star Wars had. So yeah, that's that story. That
what about UFO that?
Abduction story?
The way they communicated, how she said that it felt normal when it was happening, like. That's a fairly common one, but the other one was the time loss. Time loss is super common.
Oh yeah.
You know,
so she was definitely abducted. Yeah. Even though she was able to resist them at first. So yeah.
I think there's only so much you can do.
I think mine is potentially a cryptid or potentially something else. So it is the Bunny Man. Specifically out of Northern Virginia, even though bunny men have been sighted elsewhere. So the Bunny Man is an insane murderer who has reports of killings or sightings only on Halloween every 10 to 20 years at midnight under a bridge, a specific bridge. It is said that if you stay there beside the bridge in the town of Colster, Virginia, you will see him. After midnight, there will be a bright white light under the bridge. Under the white light will appear a humanoid murderous bunny with an axe or a knife. There have been very few sightings of this murderer. There is little that is known about him except that some say he escaped an insane asylum. The tale of the Bunny Man started with a series of unsolved brutal murders that allegedly originated from an insane asylum that existed buried in the wilderness of Clifton, Virginia, in the early 1900s. Just as the lunatics in the asylum were about to be brought to their death, it was shut down. That's how it was described. Honestly, I don't know why they would describe it that way. Like, were they going to execute them? I don't know. It doesn't say. More and more people were beginning to move into the town where the asylum was. The mayor issued a formal request for the head of the asylum to move the people somewhere else so they wouldn't escape and cause chaos in the town. According to the tale, in the autumn of 1904, the inmates were packed into 15 transports to be moved to a new facility. It is said that sometime during the journey to Lorton Prison, the driver of one of the vehicles violently swerved for purposes of avoiding something in the road, and the transport careened off the road and crashed into the dark wilderness. Most of the inmates aboard and the driver were killed in the crash, but some survived and escaped into the surrounding landscape, disappearing into the black of night. The very next day, the police were hard at work scouring the area to hunt down the escaped inmates. After an exhaustive and intensive manhunt that lasted for months, the authorities were said to have apprehended all but two of the estimated 10 convicts that escaped, a Marcus A. Walster and a Douglas J. Griffin. As the police were still searching, they saw a footprint in the mud, and in the footprint it said, "You'll never find me, and you know it too." Signed, the Bunny Man. The police knew what happened to one of the inmates, but not the other. One evening on Halloween of 1905, a group of teenagers went to the Colster Overpass near Clifton, Virginia, which was known as the Bunny Man Bridge, the very one from which Walster's lifeless corpse had been found hanging. So it's Douglas J. Griffin that they believe is the Bunny Man. It is said that three of the teens would later be found dead, their throats slashed, and with long cuts up their abdomen as if they had been gutted like a rabbit. The story apparently caused quite an uproar at the time, with parents warning their kids not to go anywhere near the bridge. Another Halloween, the Bunny Man allegedly struck again. This time, seven teens were said to be partying under the bridge, while one, a young woman by the name of Adrienne Hatala, was still spooked by the stories and kept her distance. According to her account, there was a dim light which approached the bridge, followed by a blinding bright flash of light emanating from under it and around it midnight, after which she could hear the anguishing screams of her companions wafting towards her through the chilly night air. When she went running to investigate, she found the bodies of all of her friends hanging from under the bridge, mutilated in a similar manner to the teens who had been found the previous Halloween. According to the story, she would apparently eventually be charged with murder and locked away in her own mental asylum. The murders happened again and again in 1913, 1949, and again in 1976. The body of several teenagers were allegedly found hanging under the bridge, murdered and mutilated in a similar brutal manner. There's no one who actually survived to tell about the experiences of facing the Bunny Man face to face, but people have had their cars hit with supposed axe and was flung into their windshield. The police and some of the murder victims' friends and families were the only people to survive. Some people who lived close to the bridge but never walked near it have some things to say about the supposed Bunny Man. Quote, "You have been messing up my property by dumping tree stumps, limbs, and brush and other things on the property. You can make everything right by meeting me tonight and talking about the situation." This was a call to the police station in Virginia, and they investigated the area, and this was what they had to say about the investigation. After a very extensive investigation into this and all other cases of the same nature, it is still unsubstantiated as to whether or not there really was a white rabbit. The only people who have seen this so-called white rabbit have been children of rather young ages, and the complaint in this case, upon interviewing everyone in this case that may have been had knowledge of any incidents concerning a white rabbit, there have been no significant information uncovered, and the case will remain inactive. Now, I don't know necessarily what that call about dumping on the property has to do with the Bunny Man, but it is an interesting urban legend, whether it's a cryptid or whether it's an escaped patient. But if just the story on what it's told, if this really did happen and he escaped in 1904, he's not murdering people in 1976. So no. Yeah, I don't.
No, exactly.
The Bunny Man, interesting, because most stories do talk about it being a person in a costume, but there are stories of a bunny or a man-sized bunny as well throughout the there's a few others in the world, but this one is where it seems to have originated. And I kind of picture the bunny from Donnie Darko.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. I do too. So I guess one thing that just that really stuck out to me. So the girl that her friends died under the bridge, and then she was put into an asylum.
Yeah, they said, according to legend, she was charged with murder and put into.
Oh, yeah, she was charged with murder. So when the murders happened again, did they let her off the hook?
I don't know.
Or, you know, extenuating circumstances showed, no, this chick still did this one. You know?
The research later on said that they weren't able to find or substantiate any of these, that there was never any record of this person with by this name being put wherever. But who knows? I mean, if it's from the early 1900s,
records suck anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just one of those legends. And, you know, it's definitely a strange one. It's not like your typical Bigfoot story or something like that.
Axe wielding bunny man. That's how I always remember it.
So there, though, there are sparse reports around the world of a bunny man.
It's so crazy, though. Like, okay, so cryptid or not, I think the paradigm of cryptid, obviously, 70 years later, still doing this mayhem. Story still stays the same. Could it be a family thing? Like, this is my property, and now my kids are going to take over the job of wielding the bunny costume. And, you know, it's things that are made of nightmares. It keeps kids and people off my property, because what's scarier than a grown man in a white bunny outfit wielding freaking axes? That's stuff that's like nightmares are absolutely made of for children.
Yeah. Or I mean, it could be the
6 foot tall.
Don't go out bunny. In the woods.
Yeah.
You know, story for children. Now, this is supposedly, I saw several other photos of this. This is supposedly the actual bridge, and it's still a legend today, even though I couldn't creepy find anything
as
sooner or newer than 1976 in my brief search. But it doesn't look like it's public property. I mean, private property. It looks like it's for public use.
So we have a bridge like that that is here in town. And the property that, I'm just going to say how ours is. I'm not saying that's how this one is. But the property that's on either side of the roadway is private property. It's owned by a family.
I mean, that would make sense. And I would assume that that's the same case here. Yeah,
it's a bike path that's going through the middle, not necessarily a road. And then up on top of the bridge, because that's an underpass style bridge, that's why they're so thick. They go underneath another road. The road that goes above it is a public access road. So,
I believe that this is under a railroad track.
Okay, yeah. So, like I said, I'm not sure the situation is, but we have roads like that, which they actually are. You can get there publicly. But to be there in the middle of the night, you're going through miles of farmland to get there, because they're usually off of bike trails, which in Iowa, our bike trails, our main bike trails are actually old railroad lines. That's how our bike trails like go across basically Iowa, and they interconnect with all these small towns because they're old rail lines. They're the old Wabash train line is what they are. But I can only speak on my experience with a similar bridge like that. And I hope that whoever goes into that bridge, they yell the whole way they go through, because that's the only way to go underneath a bridge like that. Is you have to woohoo the whole way through. So,
yeah.
So I'm going to talk about the cryptid Champ or Champy. So over the years, there have been over 300 reported sightings of Champ. The original story is related to the Iroquois legend of giant snakes, which the Mohawk named, I'm going to probably kill this, but I'm going to try it, Onyarkoa. The French cartographer Samuel de Champlain, the founder of Quebec and the lake's namesake, is often claimed to be the first European to have sighted Champ in 1609. Now, it is Lake Champlain. The enunciation is Champlain, and they don't call him Champ. They call him Champ. So in 1609, the earliest source of this claim. I'm going to move my stuff here. Sorry about this. Here we go. In 1609, the earliest source of this claim is claimed to be is the summer 1970 issue of magazine Vermont Life. The magazine quoted Champlain as having documented a 20-foot, 6.1-meter serpent, thick as a barrel, and a head like a horse. There's no evidence that Champlain ever said this, although He did document large fish. There's also a great abundance of fish of many varieties, among others. One called by the savages of the country is what they said. So remember, this is Champlain saying this. The country of how are we going to pronounce this? Shakwafaru, which means in length. Largest being, as people told, 8 or 10 feet or 3 meters long. Says, I saw some 5 foot long, which were as long as my thigh. The head as big as many of my two fists, with a snout 2.5 feet. So these are from his notes of large fish. And he says that they have large scales, and they're so large and strong that you couldn't pierce them. And their color is silver and gray. That's what he's saying. That's an 1878 translation from his journals. However, I apologize, the translations are very flip-flopped. So it didn't make a lot of sense. Basically, what he's talking about is he documented very large fish with really thick, coarse scales. It says, Cap Crumb's sighting of an enormous serpent monster. Crumb estimated the monster to have been about 187 foot, 57 meters long, and approximately 200 yards, 180 meters away from him. Despite the great distance, he claimed to have witnessed it being followed by two large sturgeon and a billfish, and was able to see that it had three teeth and eyes the color of peeled onions. He also described the monster as having a belt of red around its neck and a white star on its forehead. In 1883, Sheriff Nathan H. Mooney claimed that he had seen a water serpent about 20 rods, the equivalent of 110 yards or 100 meters in length from where he was on the shore. He claimed that he was so close that he could see round white spots inside of its mouth, and that the creature appeared to be about 25 to 30 foot in length. Sightings led to many more alleged witnesses coming forward with their own accounts. The legend of Champ captured the interest of P.T. Barnum in 1873, the famous showman who offered rewards to anyone who could bring him the monster. The image here that you're seeing right now is sonar from Lake Champlain, and the sonar equipment aboard the boat on Lake Champlain recently picked up a rather remarkable object, which some believe could have been the site's legendary monster, Champ. The intriguing image is captured just this past Sunday by a chartered vessel obtained by Scott Thurber, sharing a fantastic photo. He did it on Facebook, and he marveled that he had the pleasure of seeing this image appear on a Garmin Echo Map UHD this afternoon while fishing lake trout. Obviously, this article is a little bit past due, but I'm going to read it as it is. So when he indicated we're on the images that he indicated were on the bottom of the screen, and Champy had a sizable body, let's see here, with a set of fins and a long neck and a possible tail. I mean, Jason, you're looking at that image. It's clearly there's something with warmth in it, that the red is signaling.
I'm not sure that this is heat. It's sonar. It reflects the sound put into the water.
Yep, that's right. So that's depth. So it says, I know we were, well, let's see here. La, 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 la. Here we go. Sharing more details on the very bizarre sonar capture with indefatigable Champ researcher Katie Elizabeth. Thurber mused that I can't explain what it actually is, and observed that I know it's not the normal shape of bait, of bait balls in which we always see on the daily. He went on to note that there was a large scale of bait fish approximately 100 yards off my bow, and theorized that perhaps the creature was headed in that direction for a snack. The peculiar case is not the first that Champ may have possibly been spotted on sonar by Elizabeth. Herself has previously captured tantalizing returns during her numerous expeditions on Lake Champlain. in search of the mysterious monster. Says, what do you think of Thurber's image? And that's the image that we're looking at. So you're right. For some reason, I know what sonar is, but I have a thermal imaging camera, and that's exactly how it shows up on.
I mean, it is the same color pattern used.
But that's right. That's depth. So that's showing a very, very shallow head and then a large body. Shallow legs, fin, a large tail going off to the right. Very, very shallow tail. But if you look at what's around this image, like at the base, what you're seeing is you're seeing just how much closer that beast is, almost in a valley, if that makes sense. You can just tell by the imaging there how red it is.
It's hard. It is hard to gauge the scale of this because we're not given a scale.
Yeah.
At least exactly. In this photo. It does look like, you know, what people think of as a lake monster, like Nessie.
Exactly.
A traditional looking Nessie creature, the dinosaur looking plesiosaur, whatever that is. It does look like it has the neck with the head and the bigger body and the fins. And it almost looks like on the backside, it's leaving chop in the water as it's moving through. Mm-hmm. That's how I would interpret that. But it doesn't give scale, which is one thing that it's hard to... I'd say that this is a very interesting image. Obviously, I don't think that they're saying it's proof of anything. If we had the scale, it would be much better because we don't know what size this is supposed to be. It could be very small. It could be just some kind of a little anomaly on there that they blew up and it happens to be the shape. You never know. I don't know exactly how the sonar works in the sense that this looks like there's a line of bars, like the sonar comes down and then there's a break, and then the sonar mm-hmm. comes down and then there's a break. So there's choppiness in there. There's lines.
Oh, is
in
it there moving? Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it.
I don't, because the ground underneath it is not the same way. There's not.
No, it's like solid.
A blue in between. It's just, it is very interesting, but it also adds a lot more questions to what we're actually looking at, because is this what every solid thing underwater looks like with this type of sonar, where it's like choppy like that?
Because the ground's not choppy, but the ground's not moving either.
I don't know, but it is very interesting looking.
So the thing is like when you look at something like this, for people who are trying to envision this, you know, most of us know what the Loch Ness Monster looks like. So, you know, we're thinking, are Champ and the Loch Ness Monster, are they the same? Champ and Nessie are described in highly similar ways, and they're both described as large, long-necked, with one or more humps protruding from the water, and their heads are thought to be more snake-like, and their skin is gray, dark tan, or brown in color. And speaking of the Loch Ness Monster, I know I spoke about Champy, but I think that just, you know, we could say lake monsters, or water monster for that matter. The mystery behind the infamous Loch Ness Monster case could be one step closer to being solved after the third sighting of 2023 was added to the official Nessie Register. The newest sighting to be added to the register was made by an American tourist called Cece, who apparently caught the creature on camera. The supposed sighting was made around 3:15 p.m. on May 31st, 2023, when a mysterious object was captured on film. The Loch Ness Monster is said to exist in the depths of the Loch Ness in the Scottish Highlands. No further details have been added to the recent edition. It actually predates the second sighting to be added to the list, which can be spotted on June 15th, the first of the year, on April 5th. The official Loch Ness Monster sightings register can be found online, and along with other images provided, the incidents. So if you go to the official Loch Ness Monster sightings register, that's the actual website, is a 25,000 pound reward that remains on the table for anyone who's able to find a definitive proof of the monster's existence. And the prize money is being offered by a millionaire, Dave Fishwick, who's depicted in the popular film, The Bank of Dave. He publicly announced the prize money in June. So one thing I haven't heard about the Loch Ness Monster is the band. I haven't heard anything about the band or the colors.
Or the star.
The star, that white star. So looking from a cryptozoology standpoint, Jason, would you say that the Loch Ness Monster and the Lake Champlain Monster, or Nessie and Champy as they're lovingly called, would you say that they're probably of the same species?
Or if they are a real thing, we'll just take that as the assumption because we're talking about it. I mean, there's no reason to not approach it as a potential real thing. I would say that they are all most likely of the same species because it's not just those. There are actually hundreds of reported creatures like this around the world. Most of them are not as talked about as much. There are areas in South America and Africa, I believe, where there's traditional tribes that have stories about these kinds of same creatures being alive in the time, recent history anyways. It's also very hard to gauge whether or not a lot of those stories around the world are taken from the legend of Nessie and they just are applied to the local lake.
Fair.
I'm not saying that nobody didn't, I'm not saying that people didn't see something, but it's very easy to see something out there and think lake monster and picture something like this because that's what's in your mind.
I completely agree with that.
Most lake monsters that I've seen, description wise, look like this.
True. Now, if you go to, once again, that official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register, there's images and videos on there. And there are some images on there that are very, very intriguing, to say the least. There's one on there that actually shows a large, large dark spot in the water. And I enjoy fishing. I like fishing. And there are times where you are fishing, you will see a dark spot in the water where the fish may be feeding or they may be in a group or a school moving. But the way this one is captured is very, I'd have to see the sky. If you've ever been on the water and you get a big, large, dark spot like that, usually it's because there's a cloud in the sky.
Cloud, yeah.
Being that dark spot, but this doesn't seem like it because most times when you see an image like that, you'll see spatterings of other dark spots on the water from the clouds and the way the sun is in this picture. But at any rate, that's neither here nor there. There still needs to be a lot more, you know, truths to these than what sometimes an image is depicting, because image is nothing more than just an image without, you know, there's no story to it. And the only story that could ever be detached is whomever's perspective, you know, that took it. So that's something that you kind of have to look into when it comes to this. But there's some really interesting images on that.
Yeah.
When I was looking through it. But I love the fact that P.T. Barnum offered out a reward. Mm-hmm. And then you have this other guy offering out a reward, like, give me, you know, proof. I want documentable proof. I will pay you money.
Now, there is some theory that specifically with Nessie and potentially with Champ here, that they are the result of one person. Now, of course, there are reported sightings going back before this person on both cases, I think. Mm-hmm. But So I know with Nessie, there are definitely some theories that Aleister Crowley accidentally conjured or brought into existence Nessie, because he lived there at Bolskin House. And we could do a more detailed episode in the future on Aleister Crowley and all of that he was into.
Oh, we should for sure.
But at one point, Aleister Crowley also lived in upstate New York, I'm pretty sure. And I don't know off the top of my head the dates and how they line up with the first sighting of Champ and exactly where he lived in upstate New York and how close it is to this lake. But it is kind of interesting that at least Aleister Crowley was close to the time period and in both states and both, well, and in both regions of where these lakes are, that these are seen. And these are probably, I would argue, I mean, obviously Nessie is the most well-known one. I would argue that Lake Champlain and Champ is probably the second most well-known, behind only potentially Ogopogo out of Africa.
Yeah.
But at least in the United States, Champ is the most well-known in the United States.
Yep.
So who knows? Maybe he left a portal open in both areas and the same kind of entity came through and they just happened to like the water and live there. That being said, there, like every state has a lake with a lake monster in it. That's described in the same way. We have one in Kansas and I've been out there and it's barely a pond. But who knows? I mean, the town
might be a portal under there.
Yeah, the town has a painting on one of the buildings depicting this. I don't know if that came after the fact that the legend came out. I actually went out there and all we did was, you know, had fun shooting our 22. We didn't see anything. But yeah, my overall opinion on these monsters, these lake monsters, I almost have to lean to that there is something supernatural about them, or they would have been found by now, because unless they live a long time, which would also be supernatural in my opinion, their bodies would wash up. There would be some, is my same argument is with Bigfoot. I think that if these exist, which I think is possible, they are supernatural or paranormal in some sense. They're not a natural mammal out there, or fish, or whatever.
Well, the way that they always depict Champ or Nessie is very, very mammalian, you know, very mammal-like. So, yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining in with us. You can find us on all socials. You can find us at strangeparanormal.com. The number is 913-535-6322. Send us your strange, odd, and fascinating stories. And once again, don't forget to please check out our merch.
Do it and send us a text and I'll respond to you.